Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 148. We're recording this on April 19th, 2021. Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out over at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, and our show merchandise. I'm Tim, and we have a full house tonight. Everybody's here.
Yay!
Woo, woo.
Lizzie, woo. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you. I've been sick, but now I'm better. Not like sick, but like, you know, I got my COVID vaccine. So I had like on and off fever and whatever, arm pain, but we're better now.
Yay.
Very good. Very good. Sheba, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Can't complain. You know, safe because I'm teaching online. So that's good.
That's good. That's good. And John, how's things tonight, buddy?
I hurt my back. I'm an old man. I'm sitting here with a heating pad on it.
Yeah, I've been there.
My life is.
I've been there.
Yeah. Getting old sucks, folks. Don't get old.
It does. All right. We have a full episode tonight. We have all sorts of stuff. It's amazing. I mean, I think we actually do have to thank Kevin and the other folks over at Marvel Studios for dropping some like fantastic news for us today, because they know that we record Monday nights. Very convenient. Yeah, very convenient. Very good stuff here. I think we're just going to get right to it. With that, on to our news. All right, first up, we got a Shang-Chi poster, which it fooled me because I thought that was it. I thought that's all we were going to get in the morning.
I saw that and I was like, oh, sweet. And I checked it out and then I went to Instagram and I was like, okay, it's here. And then the next thing was the teaser and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
I had heard about that there was a rumor that the trailer was going to be released. And I was like, wait, we're getting a trailer? The poster was a surprise, but the trailer I knew we were, well, was hoping that we were going to get. And then literally it was poster and then trailer right after. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the best day ever.
Yeah. Lizzie.
I felt the same way, like shocking.
Tell us about, let's start the conversation, Lizzie. What did we see in the teaser? What did you think about it? What did you like? What did you not like? What are you unsure about? Go forth.
I'm unsure about nothing. I want everything about forever. I am obsessed with Simu Liu. I think he's adorable and he's wonderful and he's so perfect for the role. I was obsessed with this teaser. I had the same reaction that you guys had. I saw the poster and I was like, a poster? Like, I feel like I don't get that excited about posters anymore, but because we've been waiting for Shang-Chi information for so long, I was like, yeah. And I texted Tim after I saw the poster. And then like 3 seconds later, I saw that the teaser had come through and I was like, wait, what? I love that it was on his birthday. I think that's so adorable that it's like his birthday present.
And on Twitter, it's funny because the actual release that Marvel did was like, they said, happy birthday, Simu Liu. You know, here's your birthday present kind of thing. And literally the first comment is Simu Liu going, wait, what? Like, he knew that it was going to drop today. He's like, wait, what? There's a trailer? So I thought that was kind of funny. I was like, oh, this little precious being who I am so happy, especially after the early cancellation of King's Convenience, which I will forever be sad about. I am so happy that, you know, he's getting the attention that he deserves and the love that he deserves. And I'm so happy for him. And this just watching this trailer made me so happy. I think I watched it multiple times. I lost count after the first like two, just because I was so happy. And it was a mixture of like old school martial arts movie.
Yeah.
Plus a Marvel movie. And I'm like, all of me was just so excited about everything. And yeah, I'm very excited. I can't even properly articulate my excitement.
John, what'd you think about it?
I mean, I like that we got a teaser, but it didn't, like, I was like, okay. I'm still skeptical about the movie. It seems a little Iron Fist wannabe. I don't know a lot about Shang-Chi. I'm still pissed off about the Ten Rings and Iron Man. So I'm gonna see it. But I was like, okay.
Well, first of all, Iron Fist is a poor man's Shang-Chi, by the way.
I was gonna say,
you cannot compare Shang-Chi to freaking Iron Fist.
Yeah,
that's the worst series and that worst character in all of Marvel. Come at me, I don't care. So do not compare him.
I agree. But he can't
Ben, which is Shang-Chi.
Yeah,
you can be mad about the Mandarin, which I think they're going to actually like retcon and fix. So like you probably might like what's going to come next because it's probably going to be the correct version of the Mandarin and to, like, fix the problems, but do not bring the name of Iron Fist into this hallowed home.
There is a meme that one of my friends sent me, and it was literally like, the Mortal Kombat, like it just shows a person like kind of like flailing around in water, and it's like Mortal Kombat, and then it's like fans and like grabbing on to the Shang, like somebody else, and it's a Shang-Chi, so everybody's like really excited about it, and then like the second panel is just Iron Fist sitting in like a skeleton on a chair in the middle of the water, just everybody's forgotten about it, doesn't care.
Everyone didn't forget. We've been trying to erase him from our brains because it was horrible.
So this definitely was a very different kind of take on a Marvel type of teaser. There were kind of some things that felt a little bit like the Black Panther trailers, at least to me. But we didn't see a lot of like real like superhero stuff. Very much. Obviously, very martial arts forward. Very much into the culture that they're trying to create for this. And this is technically a teaser, but it gave us a lot for a teaser. It really fundamentally laid the groundwork for what the story is going to be, roughly. And it was over 2 minutes long. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes for a teaser is really long.
Yeah. Teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did say that the actual first trailer is going to come out in a few weeks. And what we got from this is that so Shang-Chi is raised by his father, Wen Wu, to basically be his lieutenant in leading the Ten Rings, which is an organization. And as John said, we were introduced to the Ten Rings in the first Iron Man movie, at least kind of tangentially.
Sort of. Well, actually, yeah.
And so Wen Wu is believed, we are led to believe, that he is the true Mandarin. Shang-Chi is basically what the teaser kind of alludes to, is that, you know, this was kind of like his destiny. This is what he was being groomed for, and he broke away. He decided this wasn't for him, and they, you know, basically dad came for him at some point. This does draw some inspiration from the recent Shang-Chi series of comics. It had Shang-Chi living in San Francisco, and then basically that's what happened, was that, you know, his old life, the Ten Rings organization, his father, etc., came for him. So something to note here is that in the comics, that the Ten Rings, along with being a criminal organization, there are also actually 10 rings. Mm-hmm. We kind of have like it's almost an Infinity Stone thing, not as powerful, obviously, but there are 10 actual rings that imbibe powers to their bearers. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that I noticed, and it was toward the end of the teaser, we saw a view of a character, and really they just kind of showed the side of that character. We didn't see who it was, but we saw their arm with like these glowing blue bracelets. On their forearm, So I'm wondering if those are some of the rings. I don't know.
Looks like it.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were.
Yeah. So it, definitely different. And I mean, I'm kind of with all of you. I mean, I, John, I see your take on it because, again, it is very much not a Marvel type of teaser. We're not seeing the whiz bang superhero kind of stuff with this. But I think I mean, clearly that's an intentional thing where it's they're trying to really give us the story, and the story is a lot more grounded. And then also kind of the Asian culture that they're trying to bring up around this. But it was also really action packed, and it did give us a lot of story. And we have Awkwafina.
Yep.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed with Awkwafina.
We need more Awkwafina to have more of her in all of my media.
Yeah.
And I really
go ahead, Sheba.
Oh, I was just saying I really appreciated how it was so like it felt like an Asian, like it had that Asian movie feel, if that makes any sense. Like it felt so unique. And I like that Marvel's kind of doing that. It's not doing the same format. It's trying not to, at least it seems. Maybe it'll have the same elements, but I like that this was kind of more unique to Shang-Chi, to his background. I kind of appreciated that because, I mean, obviously he's Asian, so obviously that's going to lead to different interactions, different, mm-hmm. It's going to be a little different than how you would expect for everyone else. And I kind of like that they're honoring that. And I hope they do properly honor that in the movie. I'm sure they will, but from the trailer, at least, it seems that they have been. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I also think it's very interesting at our stage in the MCU, which is very deep into connectivity, overarching stories, big crossovers, big team-ups, to go back to an intimate origin story, which we kind of get in WandaVision a little bit, but we really haven't seen since Captain Marvel. That's the last true origin story we've seen. Mm-hmm. And even with Captain Marvel and Black Panther and Ant-Man, which are like couched within Civil War and Infinity War and like all these other giant crossover situations, like we were already like deep into waiting for Endgame to come. It's very interesting to then feel like we're sort of like peeling back the onion a little bit and getting back to something so not one dimensional, that's the wrong way to say it, but like one single laned. Like one story about one character, like what?
Yeah.
Well, they're so used to like this sort of like, well, there's 28 people in this movie. How are they going to connect it? And it's like going back to like one intimate character and like his story. That's, and I think that's the connection that Tim's making to the Black Panther feel of it, is that like, that's really how Black Panther felt. And that's, right. And I think like, especially telling an authentic Black story, now we're getting an authentic Asian story. Like mm-hmm. that's what we want to see more of. Yes. But like, and John, not to call you out, John, but it's like, sucks that people are going to think, oh, Iron Fist, because the only other like kind of martial arts stupid thing that we have in Marvel, though we shouldn't have, it should have been anything else but stupid Iron Fist. And like that sucks that like that's the comparison that it's going to get, because it deserves better than that. Yeah. And Black Panther didn't have anything to compare to it, because there was literally zero that came before it to compare to. So it sucks that Shang-Chi may get compared to Iron Fist, because it doesn't deserve that. And it's better than that. It's honestly way better than that. I will die on that one, because it is going to be way better than that shit. Sorry.
I will join you on that hill as well, because
because you really opened a door for me here.
I mean, the amount of times they say the immortal Iron Fist in the show is irritating. Like, I hated those words. Whenever he said them, I was like, oh god, stop. So yes, this will be much better.
The whole story is such a spit in the face of anything good. Like, it should have been something else entirely. No, don't get me started on that, but anyways, I think it's interesting to go back to an origin story from where we've been.
Sure.
So it's like, it feels like maybe going backwards a little. It has an Iron Man 1 feel. which is where we were like 10 years ago. Iron Man 1, Cap 1, Thor 1, like everybody's first story. And now, 10 years later, we're like, what? The beginning of a story? Strange. We are usually in the middle now.
John?
And I guess it's... Oh, go ahead.
You got to give John a turn, ladies.
Sorry. No, we don't. Sorry. He brought up the Iron Fist. No, we don't.
No, and...
Go ahead, John.
I get all that, and I get that it's not... It's not a one-to-one comparison, and it is... And Iron Fist was not truly part of the MCU. And it is an easy comparison because both are martial artists. And that being said, I love martial arts movies. I love, you know, Bruce Lee, 80s, you know, martial arts, you know, style, Karate Kid, all of that. I'm still, and as Tim said, that just the whole thing with Shang-Chi, and we saw a little bit of it. It is very not kind of Marvel-esque. And that being said, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt because it is different. To me, Shang-Chi is as different a movie kind of going as, to a degree, Guardians was. Mm-hmm. Where
or Winter Soldier.
I wouldn't say Winter Soldier. It's enough of a difference. So while it, I'm sure there are plenty of folks and, you know, Sheba, you touched on it and so did you, Lizzie, that are very excited, you know, for it. And that's fantastic. And Marvel knows the audience. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt, but I mean, just on it being when it was announced, and it's the same way with the Eternals, where I'm like, I'm going to enjoy them, but they don't make me excited. We've got some news and speculation later in the show that gets me very excited, but that just goes to where my love in Marvel and the comics and everything come from growing up. And that's the amazing thing about Marvel is there is such a huge pantheon that there is something for everyone that's going to get folks excited. It's not that I'm not, you know, when it comes out and we reviewed, I'm going to like, oh yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I have no doubt of that, but is it something that makes me super excited for, what is it, September 3rd when it releases?
Yes.
No. Will I go see it? Yes. But it's not something like, you know, it's not on my calendar. And folks, it's not on my calendar and I know the date only because it's weirdly I remember the date from this.
I just think that Tim needs to like save a clip of you saying you're not so excited for it when it comes out and you love it. Oh. That we like use this against you. I just want to point that out.
Completely fair. Completely fair. Because there's a solid chance that I'm gonna be like, oh my god, this is my favorite Marvel movie ever. And Lizzie's gonna be like, you jackass. Months ago, you're like, hey, I don't care.
I won't call you a jackass, but I will bring this clip Tumor. Back up for us to remember. But I want to say that, like, I don't think Iron Man 1 felt like the Marvel that we know now.
Oh, true.
You know what
true.
I mean? Like, an origin story never feels that way because we see so much of the human element in an origin story that gets us to that Marvel thing. Even Black Panther, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that those early teasers of movies, like, except for Thor. Thor is the exception. But Captain America, Ant-Man, Iron Man, and Black Panther, specifically, even Captain Marvel, I would put, she feels very comic booky to begin with. But those four, I think, when you watch their teasers, they feel like humans all of a sudden confronted with something greater than themselves. And that's how this feels to me.
Yeah. So and it's a great setup.
Yeah, very grounded in how they do origin stories.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's weird to kind of go backwards when we've been to epic land. And then now we're like... Oh, and we're peeling it back.
And it's interesting because one of my friends, he's Asian, Chinese, and he was talking about how when he watched it, completely, obviously, it's a little different. He was really excited about it, like all of us were. But he said that for him, growing up in North America, he hadn't really seen characters who had, you know, perfect English, were just, you know, like a lot of the martial arts movies that, at least the ones that I watched when I was growing up, a lot of them were talking about kind of that they had accents or they came from China or they came from another country and they were trying to get, you know, get their bearings here, fish out of water type situation. Whereas it's not the same with Shang-Chi. It's more relatable to those of us who have grown up in North America with, you know, like the immigrant story kind of thing. So I thought that that sure. was an interesting little thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's going to be a lot of appeal to this. And they we've certainly seen that with a lot of the different films and the perspectives that they give and kind of the lens that they show it all through. Mm-hmm. So the next item here, we had a couple things for Spider-Man No Way Home. Sheba, you want to talk about these?
Yep. So Alfred Molina confirms his return in Spider-Man, which I thought that was canon already. So I was just like assumed it was a thing. So when people were talking about it,
a lot of people seem to be making a really big deal about it that like, oh no, like Kevin Feige is going to be really like, but this is something that was said like yeah. months ago. So
didn't we confirm this like months back? And I was very confused. So yeah. I was like, when everyone was like, yeah, he's confirmed. I'm like, but okay. I thought that this was known information. John.
Knew this. That's so weird.
Yeah.
I was like, we already knew this.
Yeah. That's why I was like, oh, okay. I guess they just confirmed it for real. I thought he confirmed it a while back, but John Favreau also will reprise his role as Happy Hogan, which it makes sense. He's been in the first two Spider-Man movies, so I just assumed he'd be back. He had a bigger role in the second one. He kind of took over looking after Peter more than Tony did after the first one. So like in the second one, John Happy was really just the one, his go-to for Peter. So I just assumed he'd be in it as well. But hey, it's nice to know that he is confirmed to be back.
Yeah.
Well, and with his bigger role around the Star Wars side, I could see him passing due to like lack of time. But I'm sure he seems like a guy that's like, no, I want to finish this off. I have a feeling if and when we see an Ironheart, he'd make a cameo as well. I mean, that seems to kind of be his role, and that's a good role for him.
Yeah. I mean, I like John Favreau. I like him as an actor. I like the character of Hap Hogan. I think he like balances really well being a bit of comedy relief as well as like just being a really seriously grounded character. So I think it's a great role. And I'm glad he's coming back
in the beginning of the saga. You know what I mean?
He's
movie one. He's the director of movie one.
Yep.
So like it feels like he is our sort of like connective tissue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree. That's another thing that he's kind of he's a constant. And even though he's not in every single movie, he's very much centered in kind of the Iron Man part of the universe, which then pulled in Spider-Man. And I think that, you know, he does make for this great, at least kind of a paternal type of role model, you know, not necessarily a father figure, but still someone who's just kind of giving that guiding hand. And also because both he and Peter had their relationships with Tony, which were just really both very meaningful to them, where a lot of other people kind of outside that only saw this very like superficial version of Tony, but they knew who Tony was. That makes sense.
Yep. Totally makes sense.
It's wonderful.
We had a quote come up from Nate Moore, who's vice president over at Marvel Studios. And we've even mentioned it here a number of times. Some of these conversations about, well, are we going to see second seasons of certain shows? And Kevin Feige had addressed that a few weeks ago and said, yeah, these things are certainly on the table. If it makes sense, then, you know, we're going to consider it. So Moore says, I think WandaVision is a show you can only do once. She can't go back into that reality. It's such a complete arc of what the character can do and what that story wanted to do. Falcon Winter Soldier, though, is really about dealing with, to me, the legacy of what a superhero is through the lens of Captain America and his shield, but ultimately through the lens of all these different characters. It's a story I think you can revisit in subsequent seasons because it's an evergreen type of story. And it really makes for kind of an ongoing conversation. What do you guys think about Moore's perspective on this?
I agree. With WandaVision, it felt so unique, and that was the story that they had to tell, and it was just that short. Like, I mean, if you went back and did the same thing again, then it's like, okay, well, it's been done. How are we going to do it again, kind of thing? And I think the reason why it was so unique was because, you know, we didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So I think that you wouldn't be able to redo that again. I do agree that Falcon and Winter Soldier, definitely there are more stories that you can tell. And I am always happy with more, you know, Anthony Mackie and more Sebastian Stan. I spent the entire day today just watching interviews of the two of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would be happy to have another season of Falcon and Winter Soldier. There are a lot more stories to tell from their perspective and their struggles. So I would be very happy with that.
And once you wrap the story of Vision, like, how do you tell another version of WandaVision? Right. Like, totally. They really wrapped him very, very nicely in it. And they left it open for there to be possibility for more. But I don't think they left it open for there to be possibility of WandaVision. And that's very, very specific. Like, Vision's going on his own version. I mean, his own journey. And Wanda's going on her own journey, very much separating them. Whereas Falcon and Winter Soldier, like Sheba said, it's like something that is like a, not that it's a procedural, because it's super not, but there are certain things in there that procedurals do, and that you could conceive of telling a longer story.
Yeah.
And I agree with Sheba. It's like seeing more of Sam and Bucky together is never a bad thing. And like, this last episode was my very favorite episode ever. And if I see more smiling Bucky, like, I'll be happy forever. Yeah. Like, I cried, I laughed, like, hey, all the gambit of emotion. Lizzie, like, give me more. Yeah.
Lizzie, you just need to have Sarah around. He smiles a lot when Sarah is around.
Obsessed. I'm obsessed. I'm doing a podcast about Marvel ships, but now I only want to talk about the two of them.
I am on board with that also.
Sheba, you got to come back on to talk and Bucky with me.
I'd be happy to.
Would their relationship be Winter Sarah?
I mean,
when it comes to this, I feel that too many shows go too long. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of shows that don't get that last season they needed or something else. As we said, WandaVision doesn't need another season because it would either be Wanda story or Vision story. There is no WandaVision story. Falcon and Winter Soldier, I mean, spoiler alert, I think after next episode, we may need to maybe change the title of the show.
wildly. For real.
I think it would be like a second season for that would be fantastic. There's much more that they could do. So to me, it's just Marvel being smart, knowing what shows what. And we'll see that with She-Hulk. We may see that with, you know, plenty of the other shows coming out where we're like, yeah, oh, That was it. We don't need another, you know, season of that. While others like, oh no, I need seven more series of that.
Yeah. I think some of them are going to be vehicles that are going to get us to a certain place where they want to be for a future movie or even another series, which is very different and maybe has, you know, some combination of other characters. Whereas others, they have opportunity to continue forward, and it may not be picking up where they left off, because where they leave off at the end of this series may very well lead them to some other movie or something like that. But then because the chemistry between these guys works, and if they have a practical storyline for them to do together again, they can then pick up another season at some point. And we might see that second season in a year. We might see it in 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, I think, all dependent on timing and what works. But yeah. And so I think it's going to happen with some. It's not going to happen with others. And I'm okay with that. I want Marvel to tell us the stories that make sense to what their big vision is.
Mm-hmm. Very easy for people to consider an old television model series, season one, season two, season three, but that's not how they're telling this story at all. Nope. And I think that's what my family keeps asking. How can we wrap it up in one episode? It's like, they're not wrapping it up. They're throwing it out into the rest of what they're building. And that's the beauty of having a multi-platform storytelling capability, is that they're not doing it traditionally. And I think that's the thing to continually remember. It's not at all traditional.
We're going to see some things get wrapped up, but other things, I mean, the doors are going to be left wide open, and we know that they're going to pick these stories up someplace else, or these characters up someplace else. So, so with Falcon and Winter Soldier, something I was reading an article, and it had mentioned the fact that some of this story was actually based upon a limited comic series that had Sam and Bucky in it. And the title was titled Truth, Red, White, and Black. And it kind of has me thinking, with where we are in the story and considering that episode 5's title was Truth, I'm wondering if episode 6's title is going to be Red, White, and Black.
That'd be really cool. And honestly, it would make sense.
Absolutely.
Because Sam would be wearing the red, white, and he is black. So, you know, that would make total sense as a title.
So that's just my guess. I'm just throwing that out there.
That is a very good guess.
Yeah.
I need more episodes. On the heels of saying that non-traditional, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. I need more episodes.
So I was watching, like I said, I was watching a whole bunch of interviews. And then Anthony Mackie was talking about how on the actual set, there were so many jokes, and like there was a whole bunch, like it was just a lot of like improvisation, and they were just being hilarious on set. And he's like, I would love it if they could just do just, you know, a little short, kind of like a behind the scenes thing. But he was just talking about how they made the comedy version of Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I'm pretty sure he was just kind of hinting at, like, hey, behind the scenes, which I'm pretty sure, or we were hoping that they were going to do for all of the other shows as well, like they did with WandaVision. If they do that, he's like, they have tons of stuff that's, you know, a lot of them joking around, laughing and just being silly, which I really want to see. So I hope that they do a behind the scenes, you know, thing that they did like they did for WandaVision, because I want to see more of Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan joking around and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think they're doing a behind the scenes of all of them, aren't they?
Yes.
I assumed, but I didn't want to assume.
I thought we saw that they were, though.
Okay. Yeah, that was like, I thought they did said that, but I didn't want to, I was like, that would be the worst if I was like, yeah, they're doing it. And then they're like, no, just kidding. We just did it for WandaVision. You're like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, no, that's what they announced with this. They're going to be doing it for each series and for each film.
Right.
Which I think is great that they're doing it for everything, whether it's on Disney Plus or not. So I think that's good.
Hopefully there'll be a lot of comedy bloopers in there.
Well, so, that one, have you seen that one TikTok of it, like what you see on camera of them jumping out of the plane, yes, and then behind the scenes, they're like, yahoo!
Did you send me that TikTok? Like,
the big air thing. I think I did. It's so funny.
I loved it. Because Anthony Mackie's like laughing in the background while Sebastian Stan's like, like grunting out of the plane. It's so great.
So good.
So with episode 5, we got the introduction of Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, and which was so I wasn't on this last episode of MCU TV. So many thanks to John and Sheba for taking the reins on that. While I'm really happy with them introducing this character, and obviously with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who I think is a fantastic actress. She's really funny. She has the range for this. I think she can pull it off real well. Too. That's true.
She's a very good dancer.
I'm disappointed that this was their reveal. And it goes to basically how, John, how you started off the show with the whole, fool me once kind of thing, where, you know, we got built up with WandaVision a lot with a lot of our speculation. Of course, that's largely our own fault.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of also got hyped that in this episode. But also, to be honest, this reveal doesn't match kind of what they were saying. I mean, they were saying that, oh, this is a well-known character. She's not really that well-known.
That's what happened when I was telling John on MCU TV. I was like, I felt so disappointed. I'm like, I don't know who this is. I'm not excited. Is there something wrong with me? I felt so bad that I didn't know who it was because they had built it up as someone really important.
Lizzie, go ahead. I want to know what your thought was on this reveal.
Oh, well, I like after the whole WandaVision thing, I definitely like took things like that for a grain of salt. And I was actually kind of pissed that they were like big character reveal. Like, number one, everybody's already watching and talking about it, so you don't have to hype it like people aren't watching. And it's not as if episode 5 big character reveal is going to bring in a new viewer that isn't already watching. Like, oh, a character I don't know that I've never seen the MCU. Let me tune in. That's so stupid to me. And I was like, why are they doing that? So I like attached zero significance to it whatsoever. And honestly, I was so freaking excited when Julia Louis-Dreyfus walked in. I was like, I don't care. I don't care who she is. I'm so excited because I love Elaine from Seinfeld forever. Mm-hmm. Slash also her character on Arrested Development. I love her. Slash also B. Like, I adore her. So I was like, I don't care who she is. And as soon as I did like research further into who she was, I was like, oh my God, I love everything about that. I'm so excited that it's Madame Hydra. Like, I'm so excited. So like, I think me like rolling back and being like, whatever they're talking about, I don't care. Like, and separating it helped me to be so freaking, I like almost screamed. I was so excited. And so I had a very opposite reaction from the three of you because I just like, I didn't put anything on that. And I was actually super mad that I think it ruined it for other people because like, why hype it episode 5? Like, are you going to bring in new viewers at this point? No.
Right.
You're not. Yeah. You're not. And it's weird. So I'm super jazzed. And I like when I was watching with my family, they were all like they were excited that it was Julia Louis-Dreyfus too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's this character, Madame Hydra. And they're like, we don't care. We care.
I was excited to see her too. I was like, I was really excited about it. I'm like, she's got the purple hair thing in like her hair. I was like, what? I was excited to see her. I was more just like disappointed in myself. I was like, I didn't, because I tried not to speculate on who I thought it was going to be either. Because I'm like, I don't know who it could be. And I'm just excited whoever they introduce. I was more just sad that I didn't know who it was, who her character was. So I'm like, oh.
Really ignored that trailer because that one that was like big new episode, whatever, like every news story that said something like that, I was like, not watching you, because I got so mad about it. And I was like, I'm not doing another like WandaVision, Paul Bettany fighting himself thing, because I'm not going to do it. And like, I loved that. I loved it so much. And I think she has the, she has such a good sensibility for comedy and the perfect humor for Marvel. Like, it's the perfect like marriage for me. Like, give me all of it. I'm into it. And I had zero disappointment.
So with her introduction in this, obviously a lot of people are talking about, you know, what does it mean? What's going to be the future for her? And as you guys said, she has also gone by this moniker of Madam Hydra. And it's actually the character profile that we're going to do in a little bit here. So not going to really go into that now. But this character has been a character that has been on the good side and also on the bad side, basically as a double agent. A lot of people have said that apparently she was expected to be in Black Widow.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Which we were supposed to be getting, obviously, before any of this, had things been released in the order that we expected them to. So with her showing up in Black Widow, you know, maybe we're going to get a little bit more backstory on her, at least in terms of an MCU backstory, and maybe a little more indication as to what her future involvement is in this. But certainly her interaction with John Walker certainly seemed a bit nefarious. And there's been some different things floating around about the internet. Some people speculating that she's actually Power Broker. Even though we saw, you know, Sarah flexing even more muscle in episode 5, maybe the Contessa actually is a Power Broker. There's also some consideration of, you know, is she putting together a team? You know, is this going to be the beginning of a team that she's going to put together? Are we going to see some allusion to this over in Black Widow? You know, what's going to happen in the future? And then also with the whole Madam Hydra moniker, Kevin Feige, you know, did allude a number of weeks ago that we are going to see they're leaving the door open for some of these teams to come back. So like Hydra, and you know, that also rings true to the comics that, oh, you know, hey, Hydra gets defeated in this comic book. And then 2 years later, hey, Hydra's back, you know, so we've certainly seen that kind of stuff. And, you know, she's a pretty big power player in this kind of thing. So I don't know. What do you guys think is in the future for Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine?
Well, I was going to say that I think that what made me excited after I got the Julia Louis-Dreyfus thing and like had a minute to think about the potential for a Madam Hydra character was we really haven't seen Hydra since Winter Soldier. Like, that was really the payoff of Hydra and the deceit and the whole thing. But then, like, that sort of disappeared and it was like Civil War and everything sort of blew up and like whatever, then we're in Endgame and it's all over. But like, I love the idea that Hydra being Hydra, cut the head off and three more will grow, is like, it was always going to lie in wait for each moment. Yeah. And so even though Thanos came along and half of Hydra was blipped as well as the rest of the world, that didn't mean that they didn't still have their agenda in play. And I love that idea that like, other bad guys are still doing their bad guy thing, even though Thanos came along. It's not like the enemy, my enemy is my friend. And all of a sudden we're like, Hydra, work together. No, they're still Hydra. And so like, they still have a plan and they're still doing their nefarious deeds. So I love that thread being put back in that Hydra's still a player and Hydra's still a threat. So I want it. Gimme.
And I kind of also do like that. If Hydra is coming back and they are putting together a team, they're like, hey, we saw how the Avengers were. They work. Let's try that with a more like villainous characters or people and do the same kind of thing. And I kind of like that they're doing that. I've always enjoyed, maybe it's just me, but I've always enjoyed like you have the good guy team and then or the good team. And then you have like the more evil villain team that kind of counteracts or is directly like against the superheroes. So I kind of, those things kind of get me really excited. So I'm really looking forward if that is what they're planning on doing. I would love to be able to see that. Like who would, you know, who would fight whom, who would be better, you know, matched against that person kind of thing. So I'm hoping that's kind of what they're doing.
John?
My only concern is, and I've said it before, kind of with their over reluctance, potentially, on the multiverse, is it's been done. I think doing a Thunderbolts of Dark Avengers is great. Just make sure it's different than Suicide Squad, which the Thunderbolts are Marvel's version of the Suicide Squad. That being said, as much as I was kind of like, and I said was disappointed, I think the introduction of Val offers a lot of options for them to go with in the MCU. So I am excited to see what they do with that character. You know, full disclosure, while I have never met her and it's something I will forever hold against him, Juliet Louise Dreyfus, cousin of my college roommate, and he never managed to.
Some friend. I was joking.
He never managed to like figure out a way to introduce us, and any of us, you know. And this was at the height of Seinfeld. We're like, dude, seriously?
Yeah, like let's get to invite me to Thanksgiving dinner or something.
Seriously. love her as an actress. Would love to see more of her. In this, I'm curious to see where they go. But also, I think it's a great kind of twist to bring her in. And even like seeing with now Zemo on the raft, I think if we see in the next episode, John end up going to the raft, I think it's a foregone conclusion where we're going.
Yeah. I agree. John, this next item, please talk about this, because I know this is your thing. This is what you're like seriously excited about.
And so I kind of alluded to this. So rumors of a Wolverine series coming to Disney Plus. You know, and I talked about during Shang-Chi and things where I'm excited where I would like to go. Wolverine has always been my favorite Marvel character. Like, hands down.
What happened to Gambit? You have said the same thing about Gambit.
I don't think I said
Gambit
the same thing.
Is better. Anyway.
You Gambit totally have.
Go back to the Wolverine Gambit comics. My God, when the two of them would team up, fantastic.
Yeah, way better.
I like Wolverine and Gambit both together. Like, I like them as well.
Yeah.
It's same. So I'd be happy.
I would take a Gambit Disney Plus series as well.
Yes.
Please, Wolverine. Thank you very much.
Rumors of a Wolverine Disney Plus, and this is one where they've, you know, talked to potentially multiple series, exploring different facets of his life, starting with Weapon X. I think they could do some flashbacks to his earlier times. A great way to dive into a character like we've already seen with the Disney Plus shows and build to the movies. It seems like he's a pretty big character to kind of drop for a TV show. They haven't quite done that yet. Maybe that's kind of the angle they're going for, way to introduce mutants. Who knows? But I mean, this is one I saw and I was like, yes, please.
Well, it is a major character. The benefit that they have is longer form storytelling. So they don't have to rush through something. They don't have to do a movie that ends up either being all action and leaving people wanting story, or putting in so much story that then people say, oh, I was bored because it's Wolverine and there wasn't enough action.
Well, and that's what we talked about on MCU TV with both WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. You know, more so talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier, seeing in, let's conservatively say, 4 hours that we've gotten so far, let's say 5 hours tops, of seeing Sam's, for lack of a better term, origin story into Captain America. Mm-hmm. If we had that in 2.5 hours, it would not have done it justice. If taking Wanda's journey to get truly to the Scarlet Witch, cut that down to 2.5 hours, we're not getting nearly what we saw in the character development for them. So mm-hmm. they've shown that with these shows, and I'm sure we're going to see it with other shows as well, it does benefit the character, and for such a popular character as this, I think it would be a huge hit. But I also say that with bias because I would love 6 hours of Wolverine.
sure.
I too.
Ladies, your thoughts on the potential for a Wolverine series? Would you like to see a series versus a movie?
I agree with Joan. There's so many things that you could say or talk about with Wolverine's backstory. Like, there's so much I know they tried to do it with the movies, and some of the movies missed the mark completely. Like, they worked, but they weren't as well thought out. So putting those into, or seeing some newer storylines for Wolverine would be fantastic, because he deserves all of it. He is such a fantastic X-Men character. He's such a popular character that I like that, at least having him introduced and telling his origin story in TV format where you can spend more time on it, like John said, would be great. And then, you know, including him in the movies afterwards, I would be on board with it. I'm, again, more Wolverine I'm happy with. He was probably one of, besides Storm, was another favorite character of mine. He was also Canadian, so I was like, ooh, Canadian. So I felt like I kind of had to like him.
Sure, but, sure. You know, Lizzie?
So I love him.
I mean, obviously I like Wolverine like as a character, but I honestly like it. Let me just have a moment. It drives me crazy that like people are like, Wolverine. When, like, a new character like Shang-Chi doesn't get to have the excitement or, like, opportunity that Wolverine gets when we've had him for 100 years and every movie and blah, 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 and beaten to death. You know what I mean? And, like, I don't want to see Wolverine again right now. I'd like a break. I'd like to have him come later. I loved that the Princess Bar was introduced, and, like, the idea that he is co-owner of the Princess Bar. Now that I've done my research mm-hmm. on Madripoor, in my mind, he's already in play because the Princess Bar's in play.
Sure.
So, like, I don't need to see him tomorrow or in 2 years or 3 years. Give me him in 5 years or 8 years. Like, I want to see other people get a chance. Unless you're going to give me, like, a Black Wolverine or another like, race of Wolverine, I honestly don't want to be a dead horse, and I'm honestly over him. And I am interested in the Wolverine story. I think that there's more things that can be told. I think that Marvel can tell it in a new way. I think that as soon as Wolverine enters the playing field, I'm going to like him 100%. But I honestly want to give other characters a chance to have a moment than like 8 hours of Wolverine. Like, I don't want it right now. It's just like, I would like to see people excited about new iterations of characters. Like, it drives me nuts. Like, that drives me crazy.
Well, and the big thing, kind of the running joke in the fandom with the Fox run, was that every X-Men movie was really just a Wolverine movie. It was a repackaged Wolverine movie because he was absolutely the lead, and the movie just simply followed whatever Wolverine did. And I'm a big fan of Wolverine, and I got to say, I mean, I see both sides of this. I'm excited with you, John, for the possibility of it. But Lizzie, I agree that there are so many other characters that they can go with. But I also understand the marketing value, the sheer marketing value of Wolverine, and to put him out there, you know, up front with however they're going to introduce mutants. So
from a business perspective, 100%. Like, absolutely, Marvel wants to pull the trigger on a Wolverine situation because it has huge marketing capacity. I also think that I think that Hugh Jackman has that. And I think the Hugh Jackman Wolverine combo was something that spurred that into being him being a player in every single movie he was in. He's freaking Hugh Jackman. You can't put him in a movie and not have him be the lead. So I think that it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm not going to say that, like, it does. Everything Marvel does excite me. I'm putting that out there in the world. But, like, I want to see other characters get a shot before I want to see 6 hours of Wolverine, to be very honest.
Sure.
Yeah, I, you know what? You are very right.
Well, I mean, I don't have to be right, but I mean, that's
right. I mean, like, I agree.
It could be some version of both, but, like,
I still want 6 hours.
and I'm good with that, too.
And I think you'll get it. You'll get it. I just want other people to have a chance first.
Sure.
Yep. So, folks, we did, as promised, have a very, very packed episode. For time, we're not going to get to our character profile of Madame Hydra / Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. We will save her for next week's episode. Please be sure to check out MCU TV. We're going to be wrapping up Falcon Winter Soldier, episode 6 of that. So that's going to be big. And certainly join us back here next week with Guardians of the MCU. So with that, thanks, everyone. Take care. Be well.